Good morning, and the peace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to our reflections for this Sunday morning, the 29th of August, from Western Heights Uniting Church. Our purpose as a church is to be a people who are loving God by growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith. And I think what we're doing now is sharing faith. I'll just turn this around a little bit so that you can see the candle, because we light the candle each time we meet. The symbol that Christ, the light of the world, is with us, even if the match won't work. It isn't always to keep the light of Christ with us. And sometimes you get your fingers burnt when you're trying. Christ is the light of the world. And may Christ be with us as we think together today. I wanted to start today off. This is our theme for today is celebrating creation. Now you might say, oh, what's that got to do with Jesus Christ? Well, actually an awful lot, as I'll explain as we move on. I love this song you're going to hear in a moment. It came from the National Christian Youth Convention in 1999. And it's the Canticle of Daniel, it's called. It's based on a prayer of, well, one of our most famous Christians, a wonderful man, Francis of Assisi, who taught us probably more than anyone else about seeing God and understanding God in creation. And that's our theme today. So enjoy it.
Stars, oh bless the Lord.
all understood really clearly that God was visible to us, that God was there in all of creation. He wrote that ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible nature, his eternal power and deity are clearly seen in the things that God's made. Well, the problem wasn't that God wasn't visible, evidenced in what was around. The problem was that people weren't seeing. They were just looking. They were missing out. I remember as a young man, an old Aboriginal man saying to me, "The problem is, Bruce, you look, but you don't see. You've got to look, but you've also got to see." I love taking my grandchildren for walks out in the bush. And they run through it and it's very exciting. And then I take them and I'll say, "Now, look who's been here. Look at who's been here with you. And whose poo is that?" And the kids just love that they can tell who's been there by looking at the poo. It's somehow or other, poo is a very exciting thing for children. But the idea that, oh, is that a wombat's poo? Or is it a rabbit's poo? Or is it a kangaroo poo? And say, "Oh, I think it might be kangaroo poo." Right, you've got it right now. You understand what kangaroo poo is. Now let's look around. Oh, there's some tracks. Which way is he going? What do you think he's doing? Oh, maybe it's not a him. Maybe it's a her. Maybe there's a baby in her pouch, a little Joey, bouncing up and down inside her pouch as she's travelling. Look, there's the tracks. No, there's the Joey following along behind her. It's a woman kangaroo. It's a lady kangaroo. And all of a sudden, you move from just looking to seeing. It was great fun the other day. We were walking through an area where there was lots of rabbit diggings and there was rabbit poo everywhere. I said to the kids, "We're walking through the rabbit's dunny." And the kids just thought it was absolutely wonderful. Starting to look, but also starting to see. Because it's very easy to look and not see. What's that bird doing? What's that willy wagtail doing, jumping from post to post as we walk along the track? Why is he doing that? What do you think he's thinking? What do you think's on his mind? Oh, what's that magpie doing? He's building a nest. That means he's going to have babies. He's going to have a family. And he's getting his house ready for it. It's so important, isn't it? Jesus often said to his disciples that they had to see and not just look. You remember that saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Those who have eyes should see. And some of the miracles about seeing are about that. Not just seeing, but really seeing, not just looking. Do you remember that story where John tells the story. Jesus is out there and the people have been listening to him for hours and they're hungry and they're tired and the disciples are seeing that and they're getting pretty weary and tired too. And they say to him, "Oh, look, it's getting late. You know, send these people away." And Jesus says, "Why?" He says, "They need something to eat." He says, "Well, feed them." And you know the wonderful story, how he takes the offerings of a small boy, some loaves and some fish, almost offered as a joke, and the whole crowd is filled. John doesn't call it a miracle. John calls it a sign. Something really spectacular is happening. And later on, the crowds are following after Jesus. And he says, "You're not following me because you saw the sign. You're following me because you got bread in your tummies." They've looked, but they haven't seen. And that's pretty obvious because a little bit later in the story, they say, "What sign will you show us?" And he's already just given them a sign, but they've just looked. They haven't seen. Paul understood that God could be seen in the things that are around us. And it's not really surprising. Have you ever mulled over the first chapter of Genesis? It's an amazing piece of liturgy. And it starts off, doesn't it, with the story that, God creates light and dark. There's nothingness. There's just chaos. There's just formlessness. And then God creates light and dark on the first day. And then on the second day, he stretches the sky from the sea. And then on the third day, he draws the seas aside and creates land. And then if you look on the fourth day, there's dark and there's light. So God puts bright lights into the sky to rule the day and the night. And on the fifth day, there's the sea and the sky that he made on the second day. And so he puts birds in the air and he puts fish into the waters. And then on the sixth day, remember on the third day, there's land and vegetation. And on the sixth day, he puts animals onto this land to enjoy the vegetation, to enjoy the land, to eat from it, and to look after it. People are there, put there to look after it all. And every time God creates this, at the end of each day, he looks at it and he sees that it's good. Well, of course it's good. It's been made by God, so it's good. I think there's a time in the Gospels where someone calls Jesus good and he said, "Why do you call me good? There's no one good but God." Well, God says creation is good. God is there in the creation around us. It's sacred stuff. And then on the last day, God rests and it's all rolling along. But God's still there. God's still involved in it. In this created matter into which God has breathed his own life in all these things around us. I want you to read from, I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 1. God saw everything that he'd made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he'd done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he'd done. And God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he'd done in creation. And there's a bit of a statement in there that challenges us to stop, to take time out to rest, and to see how good things are around us, to celebrate it. Pandemic's a bit rough. We get separated from the people we love. We get separated from doing the things we love to do. We feel for people who are stuck by themselves particularly. That's very difficult, particularly people who've been recently bereaved and they're sitting with their loneliness intensified and amplified. But we are allowed to go out for a walk. We are allowed to take some Sabbath to look at what's around us and to celebrate it. It's beautiful. God has breathed God's life into everything around us. So it's a reminder that God's with us. Now, I want you to put those two thoughts together. God's creation is very good because God made it and breathed life into it. And God's creation is very good because God's nature, his eternal power and his deity are clearly seen in the things that God has made. Whoa. God's invisible nature, but it's made visible to us in creation, in the things that God's made. And so often we look, but we don't see. We just look. Well, Francis of Assisi saw. And because he saw, he venerated what was around him. He didn't see it as something to be exploited and abused and used. He saw creation as God breathed. It was said that this filled him so much that when he went out, the animals, the birds weren't scared of him. They'd come and they'd sit round him. He exuded something of his love of God to the creation around him. He didn't just look. He saw, and we are meant, in Paul's eyes, we're meant to be able to see. God's invisible nature is made visible in all the things that God has created. When I was a boy, I did some terrible things. I was taught as a kid, the only good snake was a dead one. And snakes should be killed on sight, and I did. If I saw a snake, I killed it. Snake hadn't done anything wrong, it was just being a part of creation. But I saw it just as a threat, and I killed. And as I grew a bit older and I had children of my own, they taught me what a beautiful creature a snake is. I still can't go near snakes, I've still got a phobia there. But I learnt not just to look, but to see. And I think so often, because people don't see, because they're overtaken by threat and fear, or because they haven't been taught to see, what they see is evil, and they react and they do evil. The evil that I've learned to grieve, that I did as a young man. I did evil because I looked, but I didn't see. And so much evil in the world is there simply because people look, but they don't see. And then when we look at Jesus, God expressed totally, completely in him, this beautiful, beautiful part of creation. God become flesh. God become matter. God there, blasting it in our faces. I am a part of all this material stuff. Don't discredit it all as horrible, evil stuff. I'm in it. John's great language, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son of God. Revealed in Jesus what had already always been there in all time, as St. Paul said, God present in what God has made, now made even more explicit in this person, Jesus. And still people looked. And still people didn't see. And because they looked and didn't see, the very image of God was crucified. Listen to John and what he says. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing was made that came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. So Jesus is unique, and he isn't unique. God's already there. Jesus is a part of what always was. God all around us. God revealed to us in the made things, the created things. God revealed to us in this material stuff that we often think of as just matter, but it isn't. God has breathed life into it. It's sacred. Sometimes Christians have even bought into the idea and sort of amalgamated the old Greek idea that matter's evil and spirit is pure, but that's not what the creation stories tell us. It's not what God made flesh in Christ tells us, and it's not what Paul tells us. Christ puts paid to that idea. God is here in this physical world around us, a part of creation, if we don't just look, but we see. So when you walk outside in this COVID time, don't just look, see, watch, listen, hear, celebrate. And when you talk to the next person you meet, don't just look, but see and celebrate. God is with us takes on a whole new content if we see when we look. So, go out into the world in peace to love and serve the Lord. And I want you to enjoy this bit of music. Sing out, earth and sky. God is there. The peace of the Lord be with you. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all, now and evermore. Amen.